Welcome to the Jump Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Mo Doc Hill, and today my guest is James Hollis. He's the host of the Away Team Podcast on PressBasketball.com and the Truth Podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, as well as a contributor for B-Ball Breakdown. We had some minor technical difficulties. I hope you stay with us. It was an awesome chat. We talked about whether the Thunder could jump up in playoff seeding. Is it time to worry about the Cavs or Warriors? Which playoff team can pull off an upset in the first round? And what bottom-feeding team is a team we should keep an eye on for next season? So, you ready to tip it off? James, how you doing?
What's up, my man? Thanks for having me on finally. I've been watching these shows roll out guest by guest. And, you know, no disrespect to any of the guests. There's fans, but I was just wondering, like, I felt like Wilson Smith and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when his dad didn't want him, I was like, why don't you want me, man?
No. More along the lines of, I needed my listeners to be ready before I had greatness on.
And yeah, no, don't you look? You got me on now. You don't have to try to butter me up now.
All right, well, I'm just trying to do what I can to keep my guests happy. I like to jump right into it. So let's talk about the Thunder. You know, in your opinion, when you watch them, and they had a great game last night, led by Russell Westbrook on a comeback. I think he had like 12 of their last 14 points, including the game winner against the Mavs. The Thunder currently sit at the sixth seed. Do you think they can get to the fifth or maybe even the fourth seed by the playoffs?
That was like the prototypical Russell Westbrook experience. We saw the best and the worst of the Thunder too. The prototypical Thunder experience. They went 6 minutes without a field goal in the first half, and then Russ was just absolutely relentless down the stretch. And Dallas, he basically just outwilled Dallas. I hate to hear people talk like that, but he actually did. So I'm looking at the rest of their schedule, and let's take a look because I think even before they lost to Golden State and Houston, I those are two kind of schedule spectacular losses. I think when they had 10 games left, I was like, they got to go like 9-1 to finish with 50 wins. And I think if they do that, they do have a chance. I'm looking at the standings right now, too. And they're only a game behind the Clippers. And they don't have a chance for the fourth. Right. I think they're 2.5 games behind Utah, even though Utah's they're kind of free falling right now. Right. They're 5-5 in the last 10. They're not looking great. And if Gordon Hayward's out, you know, the door is still cracked now. The Clippers also have had a couple bad losses recently. We just saw them lose to the Kings and lose to Dallas in like pretty disappointing fashion. So the Clippers, I think, got some behind the scenes issues. And if you know, maybe hopefully one day it'll all come to light and we can talk about it. But they definitely have a shot at grabbing that fifth seed. Definitely.
I mean, you're right about the Clippers and that terrible loss they had. And they have a pretty – the truth is I pulled up all three teams' schedules to take a look at it. And, you know, Utah has one of the toughest, assuming the Spurs play out, you know, and play all their guys in all these games, because they play the Spurs twice, they play Golden State, they play Portland twice, and the Wizards. You know, so of their last 8 games, 6 of them are against good playoff teams, and Portland. Yikes. And Portland competing for a playoff spot. So those 2 games for Portland are going to be huge.
Yeah, and let's make sure we I know the listeners know and you know, so I just like to say it, though. This Portland team we're seeing now is not the Portland team from the first, 2/3 of the season. Once they made that trade and Nurkic provides exactly what they need, that's going to be a really tough out for anybody.
Yeah, those are tough games right now, and especially with Dame's locked in, man. Like, I've been watching him lately, and he's just putting up 30 like it's nothing, but he is zeroed in. And we're recording this on a Tuesday night. You know, later tonight we have the big showdown of the Denver-Portland game, which I'm actually more fired up for that than I am for the current Golden State-Rockets game.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting game. I think that's got so many playoff implications there. Denver has to get this game in order to have a chance to make the playoffs, because the Blazers have pretty much every tiebreaker after that.
Right. And I've been saying, you know, I've been on a couple other shows and people ask. I think Portland takes it just for the fact they got the experience and the know-how, and I think Dame's the best player out of all of them, so I think he's a leader. But I really enjoy what Denver's doing. But yeah, I think Portland's going to get it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Portland will get the 8 seed. But back to the Thunder real quickly. If they get into the 5th seed or the 4th seed, what do you think that does for the Westbrook MVP case. I know a lot of people have been talking about, like, lately the big trend is triple-double, you know, isn't enough. I think a lot of people are ignoring what he does at the end of games, like we saw last night against Dallas, where he, like you said, willed them to that win. If they get the fifth seed, they get to find a way even to get the fourth seed. You know, do you think that's a surefire lock for you? He's an MVP, or you think that's where are you at in that?
Okay, so I'm biased because I'm a huge Westbrook fan. A big knock on his resume has been that, you know, oh well, you sure the numbers are great, but he's in the sixth seed. You know, why are we going to reward mediocrity is basically what people were saying. So the fact that, yeah, if he can grab the fourth seed, that's definitely – that knocks down one argument against him, right?
Right. For me, anyways, when it comes to the MVP, if any of the three between Harden, Westbrook, and Leonard win it, I feel like it's fine. All three have a strong case for it and all have a different case to me. You know, I've been very impressed with – Westbrook's triple doubles. At the start of the year, I didn't even have Oklahoma City in the playoffs. You could call me crazy or whatnot, but I didn't even think they were good enough to get there.
And then, yeah, and you're not the only one. So a lot of very smart people were like, they're in danger of missing the playoffs. And I was, of course, again, Westbrook to me is like, he's like a superhero. I think he's incredible. So I didn't think that, but you know, I understand why people said that. So, yeah.
And I didn't think he could sustain. I mean, I don't think people understand how hard it is to maintain a triple-double. And it's, I mean, for me, I didn't think he could sustain that. And then at this point now, I'm just, like, blown away by it. So, and then what he's, like I said, what he's done at the end of games, you know, definitely deserves to be noticed and recognized, you know, in that respect. And I think, sometimes I think the triple-doubles kind of overshadows, you know, what he's doing at the end of these games sometimes.
I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of talking about the triple-doubles. And I really believe him when he says he's tired of talking about him. Like, he understands what he's doing is historic, but, you know, I think it's like you said, he's playing and the things that he does on the positive side, because people just see triple-doubles. And then the people who want to be detractors are like, oh, great, you know, empty triple-doubles. You know, even when they lost to Houston, oh, you know, triple-double, though. Like, right. they're not 30-7 when he has a triple-double or whatever. So, I'm tired of talking about him, but and it's weird because he's actually normalized this feat. Triple double should be a big deal, and he's done it to the point where people are almost holding it against him. So it's a quirk. And so yeah, back to your question though, you were saying that if they if they snag the four seed and he averages, which he's going to have a triple double. It's going to happen now, you know. And he's going to probably he has a chance at that record of the most in the season. That I think that should give him the MVP. If he finishes, of course, it seems arbitrary, but yeah, the argument's different if he finishes fifth or sixth, which I think fifth gives him still a really good chance. I think sixth, it's over with.
All right, well, let's move on, because you are tired of talking about triple doubles. Let's talk about another thing. You know, we watched the Cavs last night get blown out. Three weeks ago, we were terrified for the Warriors. Everybody thought the Warriors were going to start to crumble. They were in a shooting slump. And, you know, they've kind of corrected it since and now are on a 7-game win streak and possibly 8, depending how things shake out tonight. Who are you more worried about with the Cavs or the Warriors? You know, with the Warriors without Durant and the way the Cavs have been playing defense, are you more concerned about either one team or the other? Or really, you're not concerned about either one of them?
I could pontificate forever about how Golden State looks so much better now, so I'm not too worried about him. But we're not sure about KD's status. You know, I was watching the game right now, Golden State and Houston. They showed footage of him shooting jump shots. But and then with Cleveland, I want to whistle past the graveyard and just like, well, they still got LeBron. LeBron can turn on anytime. But they've been so bad defensively lately that I mean, it's got to be Cleveland, right? Like, I think they've been the worst defensive team by defensive rating in the NBA second worst. Yeah. Only the Lakers have been a little bit worse. So they're 29th out of 30 teams in defensive rating since the All-Star break. I think overall they're like 23rd or whatever. You know, net rating has been terrible. They played horrible. They had like LeBron's first losing record in January. They played better in February. Now they have a losing record in like since the All-Star break. They're just not playing well at all. And I'm not sure. That's a huge swing to all of a sudden hit the playoffs and flip the switch. So let's see if LeBron has it in. I'm definitely more worried about Cleveland than Golden State. Golden State's got its footing back again without Kevin Durant. So,
yeah, I'm I'm with you on that. I'm not as worried about Cleveland as everybody else is, just because, and it's not necessarily because I believe they can just throw on a switch. But I when I look at the East, I don't think the first round's really going to be that big of an issue for them. Obviously, it depends on who they match up with. And I think they're going to kind of start to find their stride as they cut down their rotation. And really, at the end of the day, do we really think there's anybody that's going to stop them in the East from getting to the finals? So we're talking about they got to right the ship by June, really. In my opinion, by the time they play, you know, either the Warriors, Spurs, or Rockets, you know, in that sense of it, I just kind of look at it like sometimes I feel like we just jump on these things too much and go too overboard. It is a troubling fact that their net rate or their defensive rating is only just barely above the Lakers, and it's, you know, for 29th out of 30. But at the same time, I'm just kind of curious really how this all shakes out, because the biggest thing for them is they lost Bogut, and it's not because I think Bogut was going to play big minutes for them in the playoffs, but this would have been the time they could have given Thompson a little bit of a rest and a chance to chill out a little bit and even rest him in games a little bit longer. But losing Bogut was a problem. They don't have defensive players on their team, but they didn't really have defensive guys last year. I mean, the one guy that they are missing more than anything, and this might drive a lot of people nuts, is Dele.
No.
Yeah, they are.
No.
Come on, man. He helps them out defensively. Come on, James.
He was a minute eater. That's it. I'll say this about Bogut, and I think Golden State kind of misses it. It's just not as anywhere near as much as Cleveland is. He was a tone setter. You play him for the first 5 to 6 minutes of the game, and him and Dre are walling off that rim, and it sets the tone for the rest of the game. And then you might put him in later on in the third or start the fourth, whatever. And you know, you only need him for 10, 15 minutes a game. And he was so effective just at being tall and being huge by the rim, and guys would funnel him to him, and they don't have that now. And sure, I know KD and Dre are still blocking a lot of shots, and I think Golden State still leading the league in block shots, but it's different than rim protection. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand blocking shots is different than being a rim deterrent.
Yeah, and I think just like you said, him taking those minutes and protecting the rim also gives that chance to kind of just let Thompson get a little more breather, a little more legs under him, because he's going to need those. He's going to really have to pack up. Those minutes are going to really hike up come playoff time for all these guys, because that's when everybody cuts their rotation down and things like that. So I think the Bogut injury was huge. Obviously, God knows what's going to happen with Larry Sanders, if he's going to come back and be something that they could count on. At this point, to me, it's too late. I don't really see it happening. Might be somebody that they look for next year.
I looked at the podcast, and they were saying that the real issue is he's just not anywhere close to being in game shape. So I it's probably best just to kind of write him off for the season, like you said, and look forward next year.
Yeah, so it's more kind of a next year thing. We're definitely going to have to leave this topic with us disagreeing on Dele's importance on last year. You know,
I just hate Dele. I hate his face. Somehow he got his own sneakers. I hate he has a movie coming out. I just want him to. I want him to get lost in the rainforest somewhere, not die. I just want him to be gone forever.
Well, a couple of things was great. One was you cut out again right around that rant, so that was better.
Damn it.
And the other part of it, too, that was that I'm not sure you know. I actually worked with Dele when I was with the Australian national team, so I do have a little bit of a personal affection, you know, a love for him that's different.
Well, what I said was I don't want anything bad to happen, like him to die, get hurt. I want him to get lost in a rainforest somewhere and be gone for good.
You came back just for that, but that's not a problem. Dele's my guy. I'm always going to back him up a little bit, you know.
I know, and I respect that. I respect that.
He gets a little bit of a bum rap on some things. I just think defensively he did a pretty good job for the Cavs, at least buying time for them and helping them out in that regards.
But that's true. No, you're absolutely right. And there's value in being a minutes eater, and it's value in getting in the way, and he was good at both of those. And he did hit wide-open three-pointers, and he played with the best was. That's what I think. So
yeah,
that's fine.
You cut out at the end of it of that, but you're right on. From what I think you're saying was playing with LeBron, you know, he doesn't have to handle the ball as much. He doesn't have to be as big of a playmaker, which is we're obviously seeing him struggling a little bit in Milwaukee with that, except when they just give it to Giannis and let him do it. He has a specific skill set that the Cavs were able to really utilize very well and put him in perfect spots. So I agree with you in that sense. I'm assuming I put the right words in your mouth.
I hate that I keep cutting out, man. I wonder I wish I could do something about that.
It's all right, man. It's all right. It just makes for an interesting conversation, and the everybody can just think about what they think you said, and we'll all just
fill in the blanks. It's like Mad Lib. You can fill in the blanks, and if I'm saying some stupid blanks out, right there in your head, guys, just fill it in.
There you go. This was all by design. Don't worry. The other question I got for you though is, what's the gelato game like where you're at? You're based in San Diego, correct?
It is, and sure, ice cream is popular out here, but gelato's where it's at.
Yeah, so I got a great place here in LA. If you ever come up this way, I'm actually not that far from Union Station, so if you ever take the train, I'll take you down to Uli's Gelateria down here on Spring, in between Fifth and Sixth Street in the Spring Arcade. Awesome, awesome flavors. I was just there last week.
So wait a minute, are you telling me that Uli's is awesome in Los Angeles?
I think it's awesome in the world. But I think I think Uli's Gelateria is by far my favorite gelato place here in Los Angeles.
Well, I got to make sure I'm in town. I come and stop by Uli's Gelateria.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm going to, they got some interesting flavors. They had a flavor last time I didn't even know existed, but it was fantastic. It was basil.
Wow. So everybody, don't be a foolie. Make sure you try Uli's.
There we go. Oh, man, they're going to love that one. See, I've done this 20, 21 times. I couldn't even come up with that. You definitely came up with that right on your feet. You're embarrassing me.
Right off the top of my head, baby.
You're putting me to shame. But let's jump let's jump back to the next topic, which is when you look at the playoffs, the standings, and I know things are going to change and it might be a bit early, but let's start in the West. Looking at seeds 5, 6, 7, and 8, right now it's Clippers, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Portland. Who do you think of those four teams? Can any of them pull the upset?
I mean, like 5-4 is not really an upset.
Yeah.
I think Clippers might somehow, because it's the record and they dealt with Blake and Chris Paul being injured, they might have actually be favored in that series, right? Because, people love Chris Paul and his efficient ways, and I get it. So, sure, Clippers could upset the Jazz. And, who knows? Those two might flip-flop by then, so we'll see. And if they flip flop, then sure, you talk upset the Clippers. That's a pretty good series. OKC has a slim, slim outside chance at Houston. We saw the Rockets just slap them around the other day. The issue is we saw that even last year, and sure they had Kevin Durant, the Thunder looked different defensively in the playoffs after guys kind of got settled in and they got into a defensive rhythm. So if they can just like hold the fort and not get too let down in the first two games, when Houston's probably going to blow them out in game one, beat them, probably beat them in game two. And then go back home to OKC and maybe hold serve. And then again, not by game three in a series, what the other team's running. You basically know all the sets. And it's just about executing and then, executing on defense and just playing with some force. So that's one. I'll say Memphis and the Spurs. But let's be real. The Spurs are really good right now. So that's not an upset. Portland might have a puncher's chance. Because, again, this is a different Portland team than we saw at the beginning of the season. Especially if KD is not ready to roll and not 100%. And I just saw Dre left the court with an apparent foot injury, and he's in the locker room. So that's something to keep an eye on.
That could definitely be a problem. That's definitely right. If they don't have Draymond Green, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. He's more important to them than Durant, just because he's the heart and soul of that defense. I actually just wrote on my website about it, and he's the defensive player of the year to me. So that could be huge, and that'll be something we'll have to keep an eye on. By the time everybody's listening to this tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, we'll hopefully have a little more information. Hopefully it's not too serious, because you want everybody to kind of be healthy. You want to
find. I do. I hate, yeah. Injuries suck, and I never want to waste it on any team. So let's knock on wood or something.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think when I look at the West, and I'm with you, 5-4, it's kind of tough to assume that would be an upset. I think Oklahoma City probably has the best chance of those three teams, even though they got smacked around, if they play Houston. But I just kind of think playoff Russ. I'm very interested and excited to see playoff Russ. And I think they can make that a series. I think Memphis just beats you up. They won't win the series, but they will physically beat you up for a while. So that's going to be an interesting series. Assuming Dre's healthy, I think Portland maybe gets a game. I know how good Portland's playing, but I still think it's a sweep. I just think, if Dre's healthy, and assuming that's the case, they're able to spread the floor out. I don't know how much Nurkic is going to be able to guard
you know, when they if they go to their superstar death lineup, whatever we call it now, and KD and Dre are the four and the five, I just don't know if Nurkic can stay with those guys, and that would really, really put a crush on Portland there.
Right, and I like that you're being diplomatic. I think we both know that when, if they go to death lineup, Nurkic's going to get play off the floor.
Yeah. Well, it's I have to be a little bit careful because a good friend of mine, Lumberjack Rose, is a diehard Portland fan and constantly complains to me about my he thinks I have a hate for Portland, which isn't true because I really do enjoy watching Dame and I'm excited for what they're doing now. But if I don't have them winning the championship, he kills me.
Lumberjack Rose?
Yeah.
Hey, Lumberjack, he told me off the air that he does hate Portland.
That's fine. This just part got edited, so it's great.
Damn it.
Well, let's look at the East now. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8 is Atlanta, Milwaukee, Indiana, Miami. Now that could change quite a bit. Milwaukee and Indiana could flip. You know, Miami's only a half game up on Chicago. So that could really, really change over the next few weeks. But looking at it now, it'd be Boston playing Miami in the first round, Cleveland, Indiana, and Washington, Milwaukee, and Toronto, Atlanta, which Toronto, Atlanta, nobody's going to watch anyway, so we don't even really have to talk about that too much.
Fact. Absolute fact. So in this case, like you just said, 5, 6, and 7 all have the identical same record, so this is going to change probably. And I'm looking at it. I know that the Hawks are free-falling. I think Paul Millsap's out, so they're probably actually going to drop. Milwaukee 7-3 the last 10, so they're and the Pacers are as they've been all year, you know, 5-5 last 10. So but just as it matches up right now, Toronto should smack. Just doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs from what I've seen lately. They got their heads bashed in by Brooklyn the other day. That's embarrassing, and that's ridiculous. I think the Bucks probably have the best. Because sure, Washington, you know, they're going to shorten the rotation playoffs anyway, and that's what you know their bench is thin anyway. But I think the Wizards, we saw them play the absolute best that they could, and they've cooled off. I think they're like 11-7 since the All-Star break. Now their offensive defense have both kind of fallen off some. John Wall is great, but I think Giannis is better. And when you have the best player in the series, and you have a guy like Middleton beside him, all that length, all that switchability. I think that if they can't stop Giannis, which I don't think they can, I know he's young, but he has a little playoff experience already. I really think that Milwaukee can power their way past the Wizards.
Yeah, that's you actually. I hate you because you actually stole my pick. I was hoping you were going to take one of the other three teams. I have Milwaukee as the team that can really upset it for a lot of the same reasons you do. I just think, like you said, you have the best player in the series, and that's going to be Giannis. Chris Middleton's been on fire. You know, 7 out of their last 3. They got my guy Deli. I just wanted to point that out there.
That's the one knock against them, I think, that might hold them back. Deli's going to get minutes.
Okay. But they got a good amount of guys. They have good vets in Jason Terry, who has that experience. You know, they have good vets who kind of have understanding of it and how to get these guys going. I think it's really a shame Parker went down with the ACL, because this would have been an awesome team to watch down the stretch with those three guys.
Yeah, injuries suck. I hate them in the NBA, but you know, it is what it is, and they're playing pretty well right now. And let's see if Jason Kidd has chops. Scott Brooks has been excellent in Washington, and Scott Brooks and Jason Kidd going head to head, we'll see, because Scott Brooks has not been a very creative coach in his time in the NBA. So let's see in the playoffs if he has any wrinkles to break out for the Wizards.
The other team I'm really kind of interested about, though, in the East is Miami if they make it, just because I think they've come out of nowhere. I mean, I didn't even take them serious even when they went on that 10-game win streak. You know, I'm definitely a little late to the party on that. But they have kind of stepped up, and it's been really interesting to watch them. Dragic has been phenomenal. Hassan Whiteside has been playing really well. Spo's got to be in the running for Coach of the Year.
So here's the question, though, and I'm not original with this, is that if we're going to give him credit for how well they've been playing since, like, mid-January, we have to kind of ding him for how terrible they played at the beginning of the season, right? So, I mean, we can't just give him with the good and ignore the bad.
Yeah, I think part of it also was a little interesting because they were really trying to get the young guys going. I think really – when Winslow was going and who's the other guy they have? The Got
it. Josh Richardson.
Josh Richardson. I think like they were really trying to focus around those two guys, and once that kind of went away, once Winslow went down with the, I think it was a shoulder injury, and Josh Richardson hasn't been playing, I think then we kind of started to see what's going on. And so I know we could ding him for the first 2 months of the season, and rightfully so, but they have dudes I've never heard of. Rodney Magruder, I obviously have heard of Dion Waiters, and all that, but he's making chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to give him credit. And I think last year, Miami made a switch in the whole style halfway through the season. And like, Spoh is a great coach. He's a great coach. So yeah, you got to put his name in there, especially if they do make the playoffs, he's in there. And here's the thing. Miami has the two things that are Boston's kryptonite: interior defense and a big man who can block shots, and they're strong on the boards. And those are the two things that Boston really struggles with. So the chance of them having an upset, I mean, Brad Stevens says it himself, Boston's not as good as their record. And so, you know, they win a lot of games, and I'm really proud of them, and I love watching them play, but they have some holes in their game. And I think Dion Waiters being out really hurts Miami, because he's that kind of offensive weapon that can, you know, give any team kind of fits. And he would give them another bullet in the chamber as they try to, you know, upset the number one seed. So,
yeah. So I think Miami's in that possibility there, in that range. So the other thing I always kind of find interesting at this time of the year is there's always these bottom feeder teams, the teams that we know aren't going to make the playoffs, that tend to look really good, surprisingly. Sometimes they just catch a team resting guys or whatnot. They're going on a decent run. You know, last year it was Minnesota, which also led to everybody thinking Minnesota was going to be a playoff team this year, and it turned out they're not. Where do you think, you know, looking at the East and the West, you know, is there a team that's kind of not in the playoffs, not really in contention for the playoffs? Do you look at going like, they got some good juice going right now that they might be able to make a run next year? So we always look at this time of year is always kind of interesting. We always find a team that's not really going to make the playoffs make a interesting run to make us start to think about them in the future. Last year it was Minnesota. They went on a great run. They got everybody so excited that when they got Thibodeau, everybody thought they were going to win 50 games and make the playoffs. Not everybody, but that was a common thing if they were making the playoffs for sure. You know, obviously that didn't happen, but is there a team in the East or West that's not going to make the playoffs that you're like, let's keep an eye on them for next year?
Yeah, let's start in the East, man. So I like what Philly's doing. Ben Simmons is going to come back. Embiid is going to be back. And, you know, he might be on a minutes count. They're going to draft another really good player and hopefully get a nice guard. Philly's going to be exciting. Philly's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The Sixers are a team on the rise. They won't make the playoffs, but I think we've seen that they can really play defense, and the offense is going to start coming along. Out in the West, I know Minnesota right now is struggling, but they're going to make a step forward. But I really like what the Suns are going to do next year. They've had some really competitive games here lately. And, you know, even though they're still, I think, a year away, I think they're going to make a pretty, you know, a good 10 to 15 game jump next season.
Okay, that's I'm with you on Philly all the way. I think they have the rookie of the year in Dario Saric. I like what I'm seeing from Rashawn Holmes in replacement for Nerlens Noel. Simmons coming back is going to be hopefully something we're going to be able to see. Hopefully Embiid's going to be able to come back. But even if he doesn't, they're still pretty deep. And like you said, they're going to have one lottery pick, maybe even two, depending how things work out for the Lakers, where they can add some more talent to the squad, which is, you know, we're going to be looking at a really talented team. A talented Sixers team next year, which is something, even if we have to figure out the minutes, it's going to be a good problem to have. That's the best possible situation you want to be in as a coach.
Yes, sir.
I'm surprised by the Phoenix call, because I look at Phoenix and I'm kind of looking at their front office and I go like, you guys don't know what the hell you're doing. And I don't mean, they have great young talent, obviously Booker dropping 70 the other night, and they have tons of guard, but I just feel like I don't know what direction this team's going in. You know, they a few summers ago go out of their way and sign Tyson Chandler to a huge contract, hoping that'd bring in LaMarcus Aldridge. That didn't work out. They drafted a few other big guys, and it's just, I'm not sure if I'm seeing it with them. In the West, I'm actually really intrigued by the New Orleans Pelicans.
All right.
If they can add shooting to that roster, You know, I think you're going to see a really interesting Twin Towers kind of thing taking off with Davis and Cousins next year. I think there's going to be an interesting run there. I also think you got to keep your eyes on Dallas. I mean, they're four games out of the playoff spot this year. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're building a pretty good young core, you know, for when Dirk leaves, to kind of have, you know, Seth Curry, Nerlens Noel, and of course Harrison Barnes. You know, they're putting together some nice wins, coming back against the Clippers.
Hey, timeout. We can't do this without mentioning the gem, the centerpiece, Yogi Ferrell. Come on, man.
I'm not as big a Yogi fan as everybody else.
Don't disrespect the guy Yogi, man. You know what? I think Carlisle, you know, I get it. They're not in the playoff hunt, but he every year, no matter what the team's record is, he should be in the hunt for coach of the year, because he's done a bang up job with that roster and the team that he has. And, like, you know, they've had some really quality wins. And of course, they're not a good team, so I get it. I'm exaggerating, of course, saying that he should be coach of the year candidate. But they have some really he does great things with that team. I think Dirk's coming back next year too.
Dirk is coming back next year, and I think you hit it on the head with Carlisle. I think he is the most underrated coach in the NBA. I think
it's either him or Spo. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, he doesn't get talked about as much, you know, and he kind of keeps a really low profile anyways, but they run great sets. He always does the most he can with the teams. He gets everything he can out of guys. He might have problems with certain types of point guards like Rondo. He definitely had run-ins with Kidd for a while, you know, trying to always kind of control the offense. But he has great sets, and he has, you know, you can't dispute what he's put together. I mean, the fact that they were in the playoff race at one point this year, considering how bad they were to start, says a lot about his coaching and the guys kind of staying with it and working through things. So I think those are my teams I think I want to keep an eye on for next year. Of course, so much is going to change between now and the start of next season in terms of draft, trades, and free agency. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye out on things. Just an update, Draymond's back in the game. So
awesome.
I'm feeling pretty good now with that, you know, with that. Hopefully it's nothing too serious still beyond that. But that's it really on my end, man. What do you want to plug? Is there anything you want to – where can the people find you?
So, yeah, keep your eye out on B-Ball Breakdown. I'm working on something on Blake Griffin. Hopefully it'll be up by Friday. Check out PressBasketball.com, the Away Team podcast. Me and Phil Boileau, a Canadian chap, we host a podcast there. And then I got the Truth podcast over at the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. It's very Celtic-centric, but it's not Celtic, not Celtics only. It's a lot of just... Yeah, man. I appreciate anybody who tunes in and listens, and find me on Twitter at Snotty Drippin.
Perfect. James, I really appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I'll make sure next time I'm gonna go give me a nice Yeti mic or something that can maybe, I don't know what's going on with this cutting in and out stuff. So,
all good. Not a problem. Technical difficulties are part of the business.
I'm going to blame you.
That's fine. I'll take the hit. I don't mind. I'll take the hit. It's not going to be a problem for me. And that's it for the Jump Ball Podcast. Had a great time with James. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I hope you stayed with us through the whole thing. Make sure to like us, rate us, and leave reviews on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And have a great day.